Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Excited to be here with you tonight for Faith for Family. It's Friday night, and we do this every Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're thankful for all of our listenership across the world. We're excited to be here with you, excited that you tuned in, and I honor you tonight for being here with us tonight to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you concerning your family in this season. Faith for your family is important because I believe that faith for family is bringing family into kingdom lifestyle. We want to do that through God's word in power and in demonstrations by promoting healing and deliverance. Family is actually a gift of God. It really is to get us to the perpetual blessing. And the sooner we realize what family is all really about, then we'll begin to realize all of the best of God, all of the plan of God for the life that he's given us. He's gifted us to live. So I'm excited to be here with you tonight. We're going to continue with our sex and context topic. We're not going to talk as much about sex tonight per se, but it's still in that vein. And so tonight we want to talk about a relational vision. If you've been here any length of time with me, you've heard me discuss relational vision just in passing, but tonight we're going to spend a little bit more time really breaking that down for you so that you can actually see what that really looks like, you know, from God's perspective. And in my opinion, from a biblical perspective, I believe that God was the first. He was the original relational visionary. He was the original relational visionary. And I'm looking for my notes. I had so much going on in here. I was putting babies in the car. I was doing a bunch, and I've got my notes somewhere around here. Hallelujah. This is what happens when you got a bunch going on. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tonight was one of those nights. And listen, it's so funny because I was having an issue with my phone on last weekend, and I'm having an issue again with the phone. It got cleared up. Everything got cleared up. And I just, you know, I'm just going with this thing in this season. It's just amazing to even watch all of the things that are going on, the interruptions and the frequency. And as we're talking about family tonight and relational vision, I believe that this phone situation, and you know that I use every situation in my life to just prove to me what God is saying to me, what he's doing in the earth. All of it matters to me. I'm not overlooking any of it, because anytime you don't have a good connection, anytime the frequency's off, you can always identify when you're in between stations. And I'm promising you right now, prophetically, on God's calendar, you are in between stations right now. That's why it seems like it's so much noise in your life. You're in between stations. And if you're old enough to remember that we used to have to dial a radio, You know, we used to have a dial on the radio, and when you would be in between the stations, you would hear all of that chatter and all of that noise, and none of it was clear. But I'm promising you that before this month ends, you're going to start walking in some clarity. You're going to start hearing clearly. And the relational vision piece is really important, because a lot of people are talking about getting married. A lot of people are talking about relationships. And it's a really hot topic. I mean, it's something that people are talking about every day. And it's a situation that people are entering into every day. The question is, how are they entering into relational dynamics? Do you have a vision for your relationship? And I know for a business, you need a vision. You actually do need some form of vision, whether it's written or whether it's something that's just in your mind. You're going to need a vision. You're going to need an idea, a concept, something that you're working from that's going to take you in a direction. If you've got anything that you're doing, whether it's ministry, business, relational, it's all going to need a vision. And so because the vision needs to be written, the Bible declares that the vision is to be written, it's to be written plain, that those that hear it can run with it. Those that are able to grasp the vision, they're going to take it and they're going to begin to run with it. They're not just running with it to just accomplish it alone, but they're running with it to herald it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that the people that are directly connected, that are supposed to be dynamically connected to that vision, get wind of the vision and begin to run with it as well. When I think about that scripture, what I think about is when people post up flyers and pieces on a board. You know, when you go in the grocery store sometimes, and this is probably across the world, you can go in a place where they have some kind of cork board or some kind of board or some kind of area where businesses promote themselves, or they put out their paperwork or whatever it is that they want you to see, because they want you to see their vision. They want you to become a part of what they're doing. And when they put it out there, you grab it. And if it's something that's of interest to you, then you gravitate towards that and you begin to operate in whatever it is that was written on the paper. That's what I think about when I think about that verse that talks about writing the vision and making it plain, that those that read it may run with it. And so it's important. Relational vision is what protects you from division. The other piece of that relational vision also creates, I'm going to say this, let me see, where's that note? I was writing things down before I got on here, and I want to make sure I don't miss any of those notes, because the reality is, if you're not in a relationship, you're most likely, if you're not in a relationship, because relationships are healthy. Let's start there. You can relate to people, but a relationship is not like a one-sided conversation. It's a dialogue. It's not monologue. It's just dialogue. So it requires two people. So if you're in a relationship, then you're in a healthy place. But if you're not in a place where you've had a vision for that relationship, then you're going to wind up in an abandoned ship. And I can speak so so pointedly about that, because I've been in abandoned ships several times. Okay, so I can tell you without a doubt that it was the lack of vision that caused perishing. It was the lack of vision. And a lot of times it's not just that people are just doing, that people are attempting or just meaning to get into terrible things or terrible situations. They just don't know. You know, what you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know will affect you. And this is why it's so ultimately important, even for parents in this season, to begin to share information with their children about relationships, even from a young age. And I'm not telling you that you should tell them all the ins and outs and the birds and the bees at a young, very young age. But what I am telling you is that they're going to need to see relational dynamics in action on all different kinds of levels to understand what relationship looks like, what the health of a relationship looks like, what it is not. They need to know that. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times they're already seeing what it shouldn't be, but because they're not being told that that's not what it should be, they pick up those, or they grab those things. Because some things are not taught, they're actually caught. And so they're catching these ideas. They're catching these concepts. They're catching these principles. And a lot of adults are working off of concepts that were not necessarily taught, but they caught. You caught these ideas and concepts that were bad business. They were bad for business across the board. But because it's the way that you saw it done, it's because of the way that you've been doing it all of this time, you're not able to wrap your head around the reality that this is putting you in a bad place. It's putting you in a bad space. So let's talk about some relational dynamics tonight. I did talk about the father, Yah, being the chief of relational visionaries. You know, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. You know, anything that you desire to do, you're going to first need to imagine it first. You're going to have the images in your head. It's going to be a concept. It's going to be an idea before it becomes a reality. And so when I talk about God being the original visionary, the original relational visionary, that's exactly what he was. Everything that he wanted to have or to create, to relate to, or to relate through. He had it in his mind first, and then he began to declare it. And so we have the word of God now that we can look and see the relational dynamics, the relational vision that he set in place from the very beginning to the very end. And we know that how he works is that he declares the end from the beginning. When we start talking about him declaring a thing from the beginning, the thing that's going to happen at the end, all of that in between is the developmental process. And we're on that in our spiritual detox. And that really does fit for tonight. There are developmental processes that get us to the promise. You know what I'm saying? You get the purpose first, then you begin the development of a thing. And then you get to the end of the thing or to the conclusion of the matter, the verdict of the matter. But a lot of times people don't understand that the process is just as important as the idea. But if you don't have the idea, you can't even get to a process point. And I think what's been causing so many abandoned ships is that we have the wrong idea or the wrong concept. And I said that already. We have the wrong idea and the wrong concept. So what we're developing is already out of the gate. It's not appropriate. What we're developing from the beginning is going towards an abandoned ship. You know, Paul was telling these men that were that had the prisoners. He had become a prisoner at this point. He was telling them as they were preparing to set sail that I don't think that we should take this journey. I believe that there's going to be great harm. There's going to be great loss. And I see something on the horizons. I know that you are seafaring men. You know what I'm saying? I know you're seafaring men, but what I'm telling you is I see something coming on the horizon, and this is not going to turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out. You know, he had a vision for what was coming. And that's important because you don't want to be shipwrecked. Especially not in relationships. It's not a good place. And I think the enemy spends so much time, as a matter of fact, when I say I think, I really know, he spends so much time trying to put you on an island, trying to make you a castaway and put you in a bad space. Because when you're in these places and you're lonely, I'm not talking about alone, because there's a difference between alone and lonely. He wants to isolate you and put you in this place of loneliness. Are you hearing me? Then you're looking at the father sideways. You're looking at Yah sideways because you're like, why'd you let me go through this? And he's saying, I gave you all of the bells. I gave you all the whistles. I gave you all of the signs and signals. All of the flags were thrown on the field and you refused to view any of those flags. And again, I keep going back to the fact that when you see the flags and the bells and the whistles are blown, you don't, if you have not been taught, then you don't even know what that is. And so really at that point, you're really just moving based on how you feel. You're moving based on your emotions. You're moving based on whatever it is that you've been taught or what you've been shown. And so at that point, they're going with Nana. At that point, they're going with Nana. At that point, you're just operating off of what you believe is the right thing to do, but you're only getting bad results. You know, I have this saying that says good income produces good outcomes. And the only way you're going to get great outcomes or good outcomes is if you have the right income. The things that are coming in are first going to be what you're allowing in your eye gates, your ear gates, what you're allowing in your space, what your circle looks like is going to determine how your cycle ends. You know, we talk about Paul again. Paul has an issue here in Acts. I believe it's somewhere around the 19th chapter or the 14th chapter. I don't remember which one it was, but they're both on my mind. And he's in this crowd of people. Listen. They're stoning him to death. Their whole goal is to put him in a bad space, to put him in a dead place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they throw him out of the city for dead. That was his original circle that he was dealing with in that moment. But when the disciples showed up and they encircled him, he was able to stand again like nothing had ever happened and went right back into the city and went right back to work. Why? Because he had a vision. First of all, let's deal with the fact that he had a vision. His vision was to do the work that God had given him to do. His vision was to accomplish the kingdom. That's what his vision was. And because he had a vision, a relational vision, no matter what came, at the moment those things showed up, it was not an end of him because his vision was not finished. He had not seen his vision to the end. You'll notice when Paul gets to the end of things, he says, listen, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. You know, now there's a crown laid up for me in the heavens. I've done all that I needed to do. I don't have to stay here, but I'm fighting between two things, whether I'm going to stay here or go. It's going to be probably more beneficial for them if I stay, but it's going to be beneficial for me if I go. So he can make a decision like that because he's basing it off of the relational vision's completion. And when you see the thing come to completion, when you see it come to fruition, then whatever comes your way, you're okay. You're like, you know what? I've done all I had to do. I finished my course. I've completed a thing, and now I can move on. So let's look at this thing really quickly. Eliezer, who was Abraham's servant, you remember, he was really seriously concerned about the fact that all he had was Eliezer, the servant in his house, and he didn't have a son. But the father waits all the way until Abraham is in his older years, you know, and that's really not older based on how the Bible declares the age of men from the beginning, because there were men having babies at 800 and 300 and 500 years old in the beginning. So this is really not old, but based on the timeline of things and the mentality of man, the degradation of how man thinks at this point says that this is older. So he's in his 90s. Now he's getting ready to have a baby. I think Sarah is 90 and he's almost 100 years old, whichever it was. They're older and they're getting ready to have a baby. But this baby shows up. And so he's sending at this point. He's getting ready to close his eyes and go and rest with his forefathers. And he sends his servant Eliezer. He says, listen, don't get my son any wife from this place that we're in. No, we don't want a wife from here because these strange nations are not what we want to connect to. He said, go back to my father's house. Go back where I came from and get my son a wife. And so he goes back in that region. Now, I want to say this to you because having a relational vision is not a difficult place. It's just a decision, because whether you are a believer today or not, I'm telling you, Eliezer was not the chosen of God to do anything. He was a servant of the chosen. So it never talks about his faith necessarily as much as it talks about Abraham's faith. But in this moment, Eliezer is given an assignment. And because of his faithfulness to his master, his faithfulness to his assignment, now he begins to have a conversation with his master's God. When he gets to the place that he's assigned to go to find a wife for Isaac, he decrees this thing. He says, listen, when I get here, Father, let it be known that the woman that comes out that has the pitcher in her hand that waters me and she waters the animals, you know what I'm saying? Then I'll know that that's her. He gives the father a relational vision. He says, this is the vision that I have for the woman that should be chosen for my master. He's looking for somebody, first of all, who's giving. He's looking for somebody that's unselfish for his master's son. He's looking for somebody that's got a good heart, that's got the right heart, that's got the heart of his master. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so when he shows up, lo and behold, Rebecca comes out there. She's doing all of the above that he has already declared because it's based on the vision that he had. And this relational vision is met, and he recognizes this must be her. And so this is how Isaac gets his wife, because the servant of Abraham has a relational vision for how he's going to find the wife for Isaac. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When we look at Jacob or Jacob, another situation, Jacob's mother gives him instructions in Genesis 28 because she already knows based on the prophetic word that was given to her. And I want to make sure that you understand that there was a prophetic word that was given to her when these two boys were in her womb. A lot of people try to give Jacob a bad rap. They try to give his mama a bad rap, because they're saying that they were deceitful and they did this or that or the other. No, this was a prophetic word that was given. And his mother was simply, Rebecca was simply protecting the lineage. She was simply protecting the line. And in protecting the line, it provided access. She had a blueprint that provided access to continue to set up the nations of people that God would call his own. The Hebrew children come out of this line. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She protected the lineage. She protected the purity of the lineage. Why? Because she had a relational vision. She said, Jacob, your brother has an issue. He cannot handle this. The birthright had to go to him. He had to be the one that got it all, because his brother was simply just going to squander it. He did not know what to do with it. He had no relational vision. He loved the strange women. He loved the women of the other nations that they were not supposed to be fraternizing with. But Jacob had a different. He had another mind. He had another heart. And so his mother told him exactly what to do. And that's what he did. He followed the blueprint that was given to continue and to perpetuate the nations of people that God would call to himself. This is how we get to the 12 tribes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because of someone's relational vision. There are 12 tribes. And so this is why the enemy is always trying to antagonize your vision. This is why he's always trying to antagonize your vision, because he knows that if you ever get a hold of the fact that you can not only have a vision for your business, but have one for your relationship. Because see, when you have a vision for your relationship, you are setting in place the things that are conducive for the success of the business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're setting in place the things that are going to be conducive for the success of the business. You're not setting up things or allowing things into your vision that are not going to promote or push the business forward or bring success to it. Who's going to put in place something that's going to destroy the business? They're not going to do that. You're going to put things in place that are continually taking you from one success to the next success. And you're continually growing. As you're growing, you're writing new things down. As you're achieving, you're coming from the place of achievement that you're in now to look towards your future and say, now this is the next step that I need to take. This is the next move that I need to make. And so it's important that you understand the power of a relational vision. It prevents division. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It prevents division. So here we are in Genesis. Again, we're right around Jacob's dream. And in this scenario, we know how his uncle Laban was just really giving him the business. He was giving him the business. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I mean, he was changing his wages over and over again. He was not being on the up and up, but he really realized that the reason why he was becoming so blessed was because of Jacob. So what he wanted to do, which is not unlike most people, even if they're not going to do right by you, they want you to stay around if they recognize that the blessing of the Lord is on you. And you've got to be careful about that in this season as well as it pertains to your relationship, because people will keep you around not because they want to get all of the benefits, but they want to retain some of the benefits, because even just some of the benefits are beneficial enough to keep catapulting them into their next dimension, into their next place. They don't care the fact that unless they really take you not diluted, unless they really take you full strength, they don't care that if they could take you full strength, that they could have all of what God has really designed. They just want bits and pieces because it's a selfish relationship. So be mindful of that in this season, because people will take advantage of the glory and the grace that's on your life just for their selfish gain. And so here is his uncle taking advantage of him for selfish gain. But the Holy Spirit, I love the Father, how he works. He sends an angel. He sends an angel. It's the Spirit of God. He sends an angel. And Jacob has a dream. And in this dream, the angel of the Lord begins to reveal some things to him. And when he reveals this thing to him, I'm going to read it to you. It's in chapter 30. And it says this. It says that he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, which is talking about Laban, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So now there is a covenant that was made here in chapter 30. And it's so funny to me, because I'm thinking about how, first of all, Jacob begins to prophetically speak about his future, because I don't see that the dream was had before this. I don't know. I have to look back up here. I'll definitely have to look back up here and see, because I don't see that there was a dream prior to this. I don't see that. I don't see it. So we'll have to look. We'll have to look. It may be after this. But anyway, what happens is the angel of the Lord gives him a vision. He gives him a dream, and he shows him what he needs to do to separate himself from under this taskmaster, his uncle. You know, he's given him what to do to separate him from this person that's taking advantage of him. And I want you to know prophetically that God is separating you from people that are grossly taking advantage of you in this season. And this is what it says. He said he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, because he makes this deal with him. He says, these are going to be your goats and your sheep, and these are going to be mine. And I'm going to separate out these every time they're born. I'll separate out these from the flock, and these will be yours and these will be mine. And he talked about the ring strength and the spotted being his. And he separated all of the ones that were white, that were like just kind of pure from the flock. They had a solid color. Most of those had a solid color. I really don't have time to read all of this to you. Go ahead and go to Genesis 30 and you can read it. Okay. He told him this in chapter 30, verse 33. He says, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted. So understand, the speckled and spotted were to be his among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. If they're not speckled and spotted goats and they're not brown among the sheep, then they're all, those are yours, and I've stolen them. Okay. And so Laban agrees to this. And on that day, Laban removed all the goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white on it or in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and he gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, or Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and the chestnut tree. This is a prophetic rabbit hole here. I wish I had time to really dissect this for you, but I just want to tell you this. And peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring straight, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So that somebody didn't put the ring straight and the speckled and the spotted, the rods. He didn't put that in the water when the feeble cattle were mating. Okay. And it says here, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and asses. And so why am I reading all of that to you? Because I want you to understand that God will give you a vision. He will allow you to have a relational vision. And when you have this relational vision, he's going to give you everything that you need to put in place for the success of your future. I have shared this with you guys before, and I'm still in this place as it pertains to relationships. Talk to my daddy is my mantra in this season, and that means my mama, several of my older kids, you know, some uncles, and maybe some prophets and some apostles. And I said that to somebody, they was like, girl, ain't nobody going to do all that. I said, let me tell you something. The man of God that God has designed for me, that he's prepared for me, he's going to follow this protocol. Let me tell you why. Because he's been prepared for this moment. He already knows what he must do. He already knows what has to be done. He's been fashioned and formed for this moment. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And my relational vision says this. First of all, you've had two failed marriages. Why have they failed? Because you didn't have a relational vision. The reason why they failed was because you didn't have any information to protect you from the death that would come. You didn't have any information. You didn't have the right information to protect you from the deception. You didn't have any information that was going to put you in the position of success in those relationships, and they were just the wrong people. Quite frankly, they were not chosen of God. They were not for me. But because of where I was in those situations, and I want to tell you this, when you are under duress, stress, or anything that is an emotional state of being, you do not make life decisions in those places. I'm going to say it again. When you have emotional situations, family emotional situations, work emotional situations, whatever it is, you don't make lifelong decisions when you're in emotional condition. And this is the reason that you're going to have a relational vision, because once you write the vision and make it plain, even if you get in some situations and you become emotional, you can always go back to the vision. You can always size everything up and do a litmus test by the vision that God has given you. And when those things that you're sizing up and measuring don't meet the criterion of the vision that's set, then you know that you're in the wrong place and you're not going to get the results that God has planned for you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is important. And I'm glad I was able to share this with you tonight. I pray that this blesses you. I pray that this puts you in a position of relational success for the rest of your life in every area. Father, we thank you tonight for this word, and we pray that these words that you have given me to share with your people, as we were just having a conversation tonight about sex and context, and this thing must be in context, because when it's right in the right context, it's everything that you've called it to be, and the success and the prosperity and the blessing of the Lord is commanded, and it's just an amazing place to live in. And so I'm excited, not just for myself in the future, but for your future in this season, because you're going to have a relational vision that's going to take you into the success of God, into the God kind of life for the rest of your life. I love you so much. If you haven't contacted me, do so at kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. That's how you can find me. And join me on Facebook and Twitter and on Periscope, all those places at Apostle Crystal Lee. I'll look for you there. I've got room for you. Till the next time I talk, you are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. God bless you, people of God. God bless you.